It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
KJ here on WEEI. Season of the which quarterback do they go with on Sunday? Drake May or Jacoby Brissett? Of course, the big story here in New England is that Drake May is still inside the concussion protocol. And it's a step-by-step process. It's just that we don't know exactly where in the process. And I think part of that is, if you knew exactly where in the process Drake May was, you would then be able to determine whether he would be able to be cleared in time to play Sunday or not. So if it's still a mystery, I have an idea where it could be. But Jerod Mayo just said something there very interesting at the end of that quote, where he said, after Drake suffered the concussion in the game, he still threw a couple of dimes. Which is very interesting because I want to tell you where these phases look like. And by saying that, what he did in a game, why you might hold your cards if you're Jerod Mayo and the team of how far along Drake May is. So phase one is symptom limited activity. This is light aerobic exercise and you can attend team meetings if it's tolerable. Like, oh my God, turn those lights off. If you're still at that point, no. Phase two, aerobic exercise, just the way it sounds, 20 minutes of running on a treadmill at least, or riding a stationary bike while under direct supervision by the team's athletic trainer. So you're being watched, you're on the stationary bike. That could have already occurred, and we would not know that because you're not really getting the insight of what's going on in the facilities. Like, nobody's able to report who took a drink of water from the hallway today. You can't. You're not in that close. Phase three, and this is where I'm kind of like, this is pretty interesting. Football-specific exercise. Introduction of individual non-contact drills like strength training and cone drills. So if he's able to kind of, toss a little heavy bag or run the cones and stuff like that, we wouldn't necessarily see that as the media right away. That's something you could still do indoors. But phase four is the one that if you pass this, then you're on your way. And that's club-based non-contact training. Participation in all non-contact drills, including position-specific activities such as throwing or catching. So tomorrow's Thursday. If Drake May is out on the field and he's just lightly throwing, then there's a good chance that he may be on his way to clearance on Friday in a full participation in practice. If he's not out there throwing and catching, then that might move phase four to Friday. Not allowing phase four to Friday, now allowing anything to happen before Sunday. There's no practice on Saturday, not full participation in full practice. So tomorrow is such a key day in terms of, is Drake May out there? One, if he's not out there, because the other part is, if you fail any of these, if you get to phase four and fail that, they send you back to phase one. You got to start all over. You've got to get through one, two, three, four. Then in five, when they see you fully participate in practice, no restrictions, you're okay, you're good to go. But if you fail any of those, whether it be in stage five or stage four or even stage one, you go all the way back to one. So I think it's very imperative for this team to kind of hide their hands. But I think if there will be any revelation of what is or what isn't going on tomorrow, is phase four going on in front of the media tomorrow, which would be the non-contact drills. So if you see that, that's a good sign leaning towards if there are no other complications, if those non-contact drills go through fine, hopefully the full participation, if that happens on Friday, that's fine and he gets cleared, then he'd be available to play Sunday. Look, I know it may sound like I'm trying to rush Drake May back in there, but I am thinking from the perspective of, one, Drake May did go back into the game after the concussion situation happened. And was still able to operate and function without any wooziness or lethargy. They didn't take him off the field and take him immediately to the blue tent, which the teams are great about now, right? They'll take you to the blue tent as soon as, like, you almost have to, like, you could see it on television and be like, dude, take him to the blue tent. So even with Drake May, you couldn't tell that something happened. The only thing that was a tip to me that something might have happened was the ref came over to him immediately and seemingly kind of implied it like, are you good? Like, you didn't seem like you were completely concussed as you would normally see, which would usually be stoppage of play, assistance off the field. So all those things, I think, have to be taken in consideration. But at the same time, you don't want to rush him back into a situation where, hey, look, this could easily happen again. But at the same time, you have a player who's clearly wanting to get back in there. I think that the team is of the ilk of, we've got to take every precaution to be in compliance with the league. We're not going to usurp that. That's number one. But number two, this is really going to earn some positive credits for Drake May in this locker room, knowing, hey, this guy's not trying to hide behind the concussion protocol and is at least making the effort to try to be in the middle of things, right? Tua, I think, is the other extreme example where there's like, can there be like a phase 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 for this guy? Because you almost feel like, hey, who's clear? Like, is this guy really been cleared? Where with Drake May, this is something that might, you know, like you hear the older players say, oh, you just got your bell rung, and they wanted to get away from that. You're almost saying, did you really just see stars on this one, which is different than your bell being rung? The bell being rung is kind of like, whoa, like you're woozy. This where you say, well, you have a little bit of the dizziness, but it didn't show any signs of that dizziness. Now, I'm no expert. Clearly, I'm not on the sidelines to see exactly what happened, because clearly some of the people from upstairs at the NFL, the spotter, look down. That's what he's trained to do. Look down and say, hey, bring that guy under for evaluation. And even once it came back to once you got back from halftime, initially Drake May was questionable to return. Usually if they know you've been concussed, and that's definitely the situation, you're out immediately. So Drake May's out for the game came mid-third quarter, if I'm correct, Zach. That sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so it wasn't like, hey, by the time they went into halftime, Drake May is completely done for the now. Mayo hinted towards it, right? You know, like, you know, May is done, but they still came out with questionable. And then finally he's like, he's not going to return. Like you could delay that thing because you know you want to be in compliance. But I think they're probably saying, you know, like, okay, this guy is fully cognizant and probably to the immediate staff doesn't look that bad. But when the NFL comes a calling, they're like, at the end of the day, these are our players signed to your team. That's how these players play for the NFL. They just happen to be assigned to certain teams, hence the draft, right? So it would be tough to see Jacoby Brissett go out there as the starter just because it was tough seeing what you saw from Jacoby Brissett, especially in those last days. Look, he wasn't horrible, but the last thing this team needs is any feeling of regression at the point of where they were getting the most progression, right? The run, like if the run game had been carrying things right now, I would feel much, much better about saying, you know what? It's still going to be a Ramondre game and, you know, maybe a Ramondre and Gibson game or what have you. But if Ramondre's pounding if he's pounding the rock, then that's all you really need him to do. And then you can play off of the play action and that would free up some things. But you feel like, okay, as Drake May was starting to kind of lean more on Hunter Henry and getting Hooper more involved, that's where everything was happening for Jacoby Brissett. And that is my concern there is that it becomes super predictable. All right, we'll go to trending, and by the time we come back, we may be closer to this Celtics final, which is now down to 13 points. At one point, it was like 20-something. With about 4.5 minutes left in the game, the Celtics have some momentum. They've slowed the Pacers down. The Pacers have been turning the ball over here recently. So we'll get to that, and then we'll come back, talk some NBA, and then we'll get out of here. Right now, it's time to trend with Zach.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots back on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup in Nashville versus the Titans. Christian Ellis and Viridian Lowe were among those who were absent. Among those listed as limited were quarterback Drake May, Jalen Polk, safeties Kyle Duggar and Marte Mapu, and defensive end Keon White. Pats take on the Titans Sunday afternoon, kickoff set for 1 p.m. Celtics back in action tonight in Indianapolis, taking on the Pacers. Sam Hauser was back available after missing the last.
That was
games.
A bad call on the charge. That was a charge. That was not a defensive foul on Brown. Okay, here we go with the refs. I'm sorry. I'm just in my moment right now.
Indiana was without center Miles Turner. Right now, the Celtics trail that one 120-107 with 4 minutes remaining in the game. Rough night for the Bruins last night as they were shut out by the Philadelphia Flyers. 2-0 the final there. They end their three-game homestand 1-2, now finding themselves in the basement of the Atlantic Division. Next up, a trip to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes tomorrow night. Puck drop set for 7 p.m. Yankees stayed alive in the World Series with an 11-4 drubbing of the Dodgers last night. They're looking to send the series back to L.A. tonight. Gerrit Cole took the mound opposite Jack Flaherty, and it's been more of the same for the Yankees. They currently have already chased Jack Flaherty and lead that one 5-0 in the bottom of the fourth. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ Carson coming up after this.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports.
Read my lips.
KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
WEEI, it's KJ. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're minutes away from NBA bets to the future. And oh my gosh, like my heart is pounding right now because the Celtics have now cut this to 5 with about a minute and a half left in the game. At one point, I think they were down in the 20s. They've given up until the fourth quarter, they've been giving up at least 32 points per quarter. It's just been ugly. And now, Tatum just hit a second free throw after an amazing steal by Derek White. I did kind of get away with the walk and got the steal on the inbound. Was able to get to Tatum. Tatum drove it to the hole. Celtics down by 5. I'm like, what? Like, this has me compelled because this team looks so sloppy and so lethargic. Tatum's now got 30. Let's see. Tatum's now what? 33 points? Let's see here. 31 points. Jaylen Brown's got 25. Oh my God. This is one of those nights I'll be like, there's no way. Celtics have now cut it down to 3 with just over a minute left. I mean, they were getting waxed. I think I was on at halftime. I forgot how much they were down by. Well, let's see. They were down, it was like 67 to 57. Yeah, 67 to 57. So they were down 10 at the half, and then it just started spreading worse in the third quarter. And what I was saying at the time was, you know what, Pritchard? The 28 points were great, but in a night like this where Tatum and Brown are struggling, and Drew Holiday at the time had a goose egg, and Al Horford had, I said, I think Al Horford might have maxed out with the 8 points. And guess how many points Al Horford has right now? 8. You need to come up. Can we get, I remember, did I not say this, Zach? Hey, Pritchard, can we get like 14 or 15 out of you of that 28?
That's exactly what you said, yeah.
He's got 14 points right now. And Luke Kornet's right, and they're back in it. So, look. At the point that Tillman played a little bit. Hauser has really offered nothing. Kornet, he's really been doing something. He's got 9 rebounds. I think he had like 7 rebounds at the half. 7 of his rebounds right now are offensive. So he's hanging in there. Like the 8 points are absolute bonus. But now getting here into this last minute of the game, I think I would love to know, and obviously the post game won't be played while I'm on the air. I'm only got about another 30 minutes. We won't have that. But I would kill. Well, I won't kill to know. I got to be careful of my words over these next week and a half or so. I just wonder what Joe Mazzulla said to these guys at halftime. They've held Indiana to 22 points in this fourth quarter, and Indiana has turned the ball over quite a bit, really just in self-inflicted errors. And so Yeah, this is just absolutely fascinating. If the Celtics, oh my God, geez, this is absolutely wild, because now with 37 seconds left, Tatum goes to the line. Could cut it to one. I could get fired for doing this. But it's just so compelling in real time. Is this not like literally, I'm like, okay, man, the Celtics are just going to ahead and take this one L. And I was really hoping they could stay undefeated when they got to Golden State, when Golden State came to town, and really just serve it up to Steve Kerr with a platter. You know, I was ready for that to happen. And I was just like, well, you know, these guys have been a bit lethargic, and the shooting wasn't great from Tatum and Brown early on. It's corrected itself. They're now 20 for 48 combined. And not great from free throw from three-point shooting. But, hey, if you told me that they would have this at a one-point game with still a possession left where you could still have 12 seconds to potentially either win the game or barring a three or anything like that. So this is just absolutely fascinating. I'm impressed with the defense that you're getting from Peyton Pritchard. Yep, so Mazzulla, wow, Mazzulla's, is he doing what I think he's doing? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Game is tied 124-124 with 13 seconds left. This is what I love about Joe Mazzulla. Oh, Rick Carlisle decided we're going to play it out. If the Celtics take this game to overtime, that would be amazing. It's going to overtime. Is that not crazy?
They're down almost 20, or over 20 at one point.
They were down over 20 in the third quarter. You know what? This is what's really good about when they have KJ on WEEI at night plugged into their ears, even when they're on the road. This is why, folks, I tell you, the Odyssey app, it's free. You can take it wherever you go. Even if you take it to Indianapolis and you say, you know what? If you guys are trying to prove yourselves to be champions, you swept these guys in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. You should be taking these guys to the woodshed, or at least not giving them any hope, because for them, this is like their NBA final. We want a piece of you. Like, do you think Indiana cared that they were 1-3 going into this game as long as they could win this game? And now there's a chance that they might just lose it. Like, this might be, if the Celtics are able to hold on and win this game in overtime, I might have to stand at the top of Beacon Hill and say, this team isn't losing 10 games this year. They're not. I'm not that person like, oh, undefeated, this, that, and the third, or what have you. Because keep in mind, their rim protector isn't even here right now, and they're pulling off this stuff. I mean, what was the word that I made up when I was talking about the Celtics about an hour ago? About an hour ago, it was like, they're getting out-athleticized. Is that the word I created? Out-athleticed?
Yeah, that was it. Out-athleticed.
Right. They were getting out-athleticed by Indiana. The length was showing. The speed was showing. There's one play where Obi Toppin gets the steal. He goes on a fast break, and he's taken down. And Peyton Pritchard is almost – it's almost like he's trying to catch on, like holding – like Jeff Van Gundy holding on to Alonzo Mourning's leg. It was like these guys physically can't hang. But the one thing that I jumped up at, I said – this is one of those games where Pritchard needs to get 14, 15 points to help accent what's going on with these other guys who weren't getting it done. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Man, you want to go ahead and do bets to the future? Let's go ahead and do bets to the future, because this is absolutely fascinating, because these odds may change. This is the largest comeback since April of 21 for the Celtics. They trailed by 24 at one point.
You're up right now.
Wow.
Too many mouthfuls.
You mean bet?
Yeah. How about 10?
Seems a little steep, but 10,000 it is.
Not 10,000. $10.
The future. All right, so the collective betting thought is that the Celtics will win the Eastern Conference. I'm not going to give you their odds. They're barely over 2-1. And the way things are going, if they win tonight, don't be surprised if the Celtics don't get into minus money for their chance to at least win the Eastern Conference before Christmas. It's that serious. how good they are. So let's look at the to win the NBA title. They're already a negative to win the Eastern Conference. I'm sorry. Let's look at the Western Conference. Who's going to get the number one seed? The Thunder are the favorites at minus 130, followed by the T-Wolves at 8-1, Mavs at 8-1, Nuggets 14-1, Suns 16-1. Why are the Lakers even up here at 20-1? Who are they kidding? Zach, if you had to sprinkle a little money on the non-favorite, who would you look at for the Western Conference number one seed?
I think I'm still going with the Nuggets. They have that championship pedigree, so I'm never going to bet against Jokic.
Yeah, at 14-1, that's such a juicy number right now for them to not pull it off, because isn't that what they did last year? Or something very close to, like, they were in the run for that number one seeding towards the very end. And I think because of the way a couple of games fell, I think they ended up with the two seed. But if I like the Timberwolves at 8-1. Just because I don't think they've done anything that's destroyed that roster that Karl Anthony Towns didn't do to improve that roster. So I say watch out for the Timberwolves at 8-1, more so than the Mavs at 8-1, because the Mavs were the 5 seed last year. So let's get to the NBA Finals matchup. Tell me which one you like, and this is where you can make some pretty decent money on it. Celtics versus Mavs as the NBA Finals, plus that's at 15-1. Celtics Nuggets at 15.5-1. Celtics Warriors 50-1. Celtics Thunder 10.5-1. Celtics Suns 30-1. Who do you like in there? Timberwolves, Celtics 13.5-1, if I didn't mention that one.
I think out of all of them, I would go with the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Celtics, but the Thunder kind of scare me because they kind of feel like the Orioles to me, right, where they have all this great young talent, like some of it homegrown. Like, I think SGA is close enough to homegrown. They got him in the Paul George deal with the Clippers when he was either still a rookie or in his second year. So I think there is a good chance that they flame out in the playoffs, but I think at, was it 10.5-1?
Yep.
That's the best bang for your buck.
Yeah, I like Celtics Timberwolves at 13.5-1. And if you're looking at a rematch of last year's NBA Finals, that's 15-1. Might be worth just kind of doing a quick sprinkle on. And, you know, hey, you know, just be smart when you do it. NBA Finals MVP Jason Tatum is the odds-on favorite at 6-1. Jaylen Brown at 12-1. You see the kind of little game they're playing right there. SGA at 9-1. Jokic at 11-1. Joel Embiid 13-1. Brunson 11-1. Doncic at 13-1. Anthony Edwards at 19-1. If you can't take Tatum and Brown, I know we can't even imagine that. If you can't take Tatum and Brown, who are one of those other guys that you would probably say, I might take a flyer on that?
I mean, first of all, the books are just absolutely stealing, trying to take money on Joel Embiid to win Finals MVP. The guy hasn't even made an Eastern Conference Finals before. I think I'm going back to the Jokic well, because he's been there before, he knows how to perform, and he's the best player on what I perceive to be the second best team in the league.
Yeah, if you hear me talking about the T-Wolves and they were really a series away from getting to the NBA Finals, Anthony Edwards, I mean, somebody's got to win it from the East or the West. So he would probably be the story they would push if Minnesota's there, and at 19-1. Might be something to look at, because those numbers would get lower and lower, especially as they perform better as the season goes along. Update on the Celtics game, tied 127 apiece with just over 2.5 minutes left. Just under 2.5 minutes left. NBA Coach of the Year, Joe Mazzulla, is the tied odds on favorite at 7-1. Guess who he's tied with? This is absolutely disgusting. J.J. Redick. Are you kidding? Yeah, why would he be Coach of the Year when he's not even really the head coach of the team?
Tied with Coach LeBron.
Right, exactly. Why don't we just say Joe Mazzulla is tied with LeBron for NBA Coach of the Year? Mike Budenholzer at 9-1. Kenny Atkinson at 11-1. Taylor Jenkins 12-1. Tom Thibodeau 12-1. Jamal Mosley at 14-1. My favorite in this group is Ime Udoka at 16-1. If it isn't Joe Mazzulla, who I think is going to win it outright. If Ime can get the Rockets to mid-level in the play-in, if they get the play-in tournament and upset maybe that 7 or 8 seed and maybe be that last team in, I think they're going to be votes for Ime, because Ime has really turned around a really bad situation there in Houston. I mean, think about how bad it is that you hire Ime Udoka after what had just happened with Ime Udoka. NBA Sixth Man of the Year, and I think these numbers will change as the night goes. Malik Monk of Sacramento Kings is at 5.5-1 right now. Peyton Pritchard is number 2 at 7-1. Benedict Mathurin, who just went off, I think he's going off for like 25 points tonight for the Pacers, 10-1. Miles McBride, 10-1. Buddy Hield, 11-1. Naz Reid at 12-1. Bobby Portis, 14-1. Dante DiVincenzo at 18-1. Anybody you like out there outside of Malik Monk?
I actually kind of like Buddy Hield. He's been shooting the lights out to start the year early, and if Curry's going to miss an extended period of time, then he's going to have to pick things up, like especially from beyond the arc. So I think there's value on him.
I think there's value in Naz Reid at 12-1 as well, because he's the big man that provides the offense for Minnesota, not your boy Rudy Gobert. So if he's able to come off the bench and average maybe 17 a game, I find it very hard to not make him the sixth man of the year. All right, regular season MVP. Luka is the favorite at 3-1, followed by SGA at 3-1, Jason Tatum at 4.5-1, Nikola Jokic 8-1, so is Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis at 14-1. Boy, they just must love robbing Los Angeles. Giannis at 16-1, Jalen Brunson 25-1, and Wembanyama at 40-1. You see anybody you like on there that's going to win the MVP?
So I do have Tatum from before the season, so I still am feeling pretty good about that one.
What was your number that you got Tatum at? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I would have to go back in and look.
It just was an emotional, just give me Tatum. Yeah. I don't care what the number is.
To me, the NBA, like the MVP kind of feels like it's like, oh, it's this person's turn to win MVP. Like we saw it with Embiid going back-to-back. Jokic, it felt like it was his turn coming up, and it just kind of feels like it's Tatum's turn to win now, especially with the narrative with the Olympics and everything. So I do have Tatum. If it's not going to be Tatum, I do like Anthony Edwards because of the social media buzz about him in the playoffs last year. Like, obviously, there was stuff like, oh, he's LeBron's, or not LeBron, he's Michael Jordan's son. Like, he's MJ reincarnated. And I do like what the T-Wolves are cooking. So I think he's a great personality that you can then say, this guy's next up if it's not going to be Tatum.
I think it's going to be Tatum because, listen to the names I said, Luka, SGA, Tatum, Jokic, Edwards, Davis, all those guys are all in the West Conference, Western Conference, except for Tatum. So if there's one guy in the East that sticks out like a sore thumb amongst all these other guys in the West, then maybe it's the guy in the East because all those votes are going to be taken away from each other in the West. I think SGA and Duke and Luka are going to be losing first-place votes to each other because of Tatum. All right, NBA Cup MVP, the tournament I hate, but yet they have something for it. SGA at 7.5. Tatum at 8-1. This is really just kind of like you degenerate. You're going to bet on the NBA Cup. Jaylen Brown at 12-1. Brunson at 15-1. Embiid at 20-1. Anthony Edwards 14-1. Jokic at 16-1. Doncic at 16-1. Who do you like?
This feels like something that's right up Joel Embiid's alley.
Oh.
It's like kind of a fake tournament. Like you said, though, if you're betting on this, call the hotline.
But, twice.
Yeah, but this feels like a thing where Joel Embiid goes off and maybe the Sixers win it, and then he does the whole Tatum, like, what they gonna say now? Like, well, you didn't really win anything. Like, maybe they hang a banner like the Lakers did, but yeah, I guess maybe Embiid, but this is not anything that I would be placing money on.
I like Jason Tatum at 8-1 because if you're going to start the narrative of Jason Tatum for MVP, this would be kind of like the PSAT of him trying to get to the MVP chance of winning it. All right, and winning the – let's look at the Western Conference because I think the Eastern Conference is kind of a no-brainer. No. Let's look at the NBA Finals, who wins it all. Thunder are the favorites. No, the Celtics are the favorite, followed by the Thunder at 5-1. Knicks at 8-1, 76ers 11-1, Mavericks 11-1, Nuggets 12-1, T-Wolves 12-1. Outside the Celtics, is there somebody that you see on that board that could potentially win the NBA Finals? I feel like no.
Yeah, not particularly. Like, I definitely think early on it looks like the Celtics to lose. I do like the Nuggets. I know I mentioned them. I like the Thunder. Right. So I think those are probably the two biggest threats. So if I was going to take somebody other than the Celtics, it'd be those.
Yeah, I'm with you. If there was a chance to say who would it be, I think it'd be one of these 12-1 teams, either the Nuggets or the T-Wolves, because I've been mentioning the T-Wolves all the time. But I just want to let you know that just because I mention the T-Wolves all the time, I do not believe the T-Wolves will beat the Celtics in the finals. All right, we wrap it up next here on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
WEEI, it's KJ, and all the bumper rejoins have been Halloween theme. Hopefully you have a great Halloween tomorrow and trick-or-treat safely. Hell, you could probably trick-or-treat in shorts the way it's going to feel tomorrow. Be like, yeah, I'm going as a beach bum, you know. Thank you. If you missed any of the show, no worries. It's been on for 3.5 hours, 3 hours and 50 minutes. And what's been compelling during the show, Fitzy was on here for the first couple of hours, got to toss some great stuff regarding Drake May and the and his concussion. Oh, gosh, the Celtics are going to lose this, aren't they? And during the course of this entire show, it's gone from the Celtics, what a complete embarrassment. You do not look like NBA champions out there. You look winded. Nothing's happening. The superstars are off, and they're going to be off, but both of them were off. I'm like, Pritchard, we need, like, okay, if 28 ain't available, can you bring 14 to the table? And so the Celtics have just lost 135-132. They took the game to overtime. Again, yeah, obviously you'd love to see the victory, and there's no moral victory in this victory in this loss at all. There's no moral because you gave up 135 points and you gave up almost 70 at the half. And what did I say the number potentially could be at halftime? When, and you can go back and listen to this. This is the great thing about the rewind feature. I said they're on their way to scoring 134 points. You remember me saying that, Zach?
Yep.
And they scored 135. Damn. I should be on The Price is Right. You know, do get to both showcases. Give me that, too.
KJ Stradamus.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you know what? It may be time for KJ Damus to make a reappearance on the show at some point because, you know, like, with so many events about to occur, you kind of don't want to really play around with KJ Damus until probably mid-November, and still you just don't know. But we thank you so much for any time you've chosen to listen. Myself and John Lyons tonight, myself with Fitzy, was a lot of fun. John and I will be back Friday night together, 6 p.m. here on WEEA. John and Shime tomorrow. So, yeah, there was a little bit of switching or kind of sharing. I'm kind of worried where that statement is kind of going there. But, yeah, thank you so much again, Zach, for your hard work and for all that you put in. This is it could be an intense show, could it not be?
Yeah, it can get a little intense.
It can be intense.
Always fun, though.
And Daniel behind the glass, that's training with you. Is that his name, Daniel, again? I'm so
David.
Sorry. David. I knew it was a D letter. So, David, thank you so much for your help as well. You're learning fast on the fly. Have a wonderful Wednesday evening, a safe Halloween. Talk to you again Friday night. See ya!